The weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost like the middleman that passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am so excited. I have two gorgeous lightweight cashmere sweaters coming my way, one camel, one heather gray. I cannot wait to wear them in the warmer months when it's chilly in LA. Throwing them over my shoulders, going to look so cute. Can't wait. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/judgingmegan for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/judgingmegan to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/judgingmegan. And now, back to the podcast.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. I just want to tell you guys something. I always start out the podcast with a story, and it's usually embarrassing, and it's something that I get myself into or something I've done. I honestly feel like I'm 508 years old. This week, I had to ask my marketing person that's helping me, Liz, who I love. Shout out, Liz. Shout out Danny, shout out Liz, how to do a TikTok where you point to the words. My guest is already on. Caroline, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, only in that I have no clue with TikTok.
Okay.
So I'm right there with you.
It was so embarrassing because they're both still young. They're both like, and Liz is really good at them. So I was like, hey, Liz, do you think you could jump on a call real quick and explain to me how to do the TikToks where you point to the air? And, you know, you're supposed to be doing this stuff to, like, promote the podcast. And, you know, all this social media stuff is all intertwined with getting, my messaging and building my audience and all of that stuff. But it is so embarrassing. She gave me a whole tutorial, and then I sat there for a good half an hour on my own to try and figure it out. And if you guys saw the TikTok that I actually, where I was pointing to the wrong thing, I mean, it was just like a hot mess.
Those are the best though. Now I want to see it.
I know, I should probably send it to you. But that goes directly into my guest today, who is Caroline Nadine Helsing. And she is if you guys saw her, she's a beautiful author. And I also kind of like read up on you, and you're not very stupid either. You sound like a pretty smart girl, like all the things that you've done. You live in Orange County, California. And I think that her story and what we're going to talk about today is just so fitting for Mother's Day is coming up. So it's a perfect subject, let's say that, for the holiday that's upon us. Caroline, thank you so much for coming on my show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So you and I met, like, I think like on a message board or something. And I always say that things like happen for a reason. The reason, like when you meet people, whether it be like at a coffee shop or, you know, a message board, because we're both like building our social media and you're an author and I'm a podcaster. And you had reached out to me for a question. Yeah. And then we just like started talking and I was like, oh my God, I love your story. I want to read your book. And your book is called Unapologetic: Tales of the Original Party Crasher.
Yes.
And it's about your amazing mom. And, you know, I can tell just by looking at you, and we have talked a few times, that it's sad, you know, to talk about still, because your mother's no longer with us. But as I read this book, you're just an incredible writer. Aww. And the stories that you tell and just the way you describe your mom is just, it's unbelievable and it's beautiful. And you know, you have a little angel looking like over you, just so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. So let's go into the story of your mom, because her life is so cool. She's like, when I read this, I kind of thought of the movie Beaches a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, she reminds me of myself a little bit, because I've always been the like wild, you know, girl that would like dance on bars and, you know, and my best friend, our favorite movie was Beaches. And she was always the like really calm one that would be like, Megan, get down, like don't do that. And I was always kind of like the character of Bette Midler in Beaches, where I love to sing and dance and do all that stuff. So I read that and I read about like the friendship and with her best friend, and it's just a beautiful book. So why don't we start by telling the story of you being brought up and kind of your background and where you're from.
Sure. Well, I was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, which right there is pretty funny, because if you know about my mother, she was born in New York City and she was a true New Yorker. So for the fact of her going all the way out to a little island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and living there for as long as she did, that's probably a miracle in itself. But I had a beautiful childhood. I loved living there. I loved growing up there. But I also had a very, I don't know if you would say unique, but I knew I was being raised by unique parents, if you will. I mean, they, you know, my mother wasn't the stereotypical mother by any means. So I kind of already knew that. And of course, when as a child, you know, you're slightly embarrassed. You're like, oh my God, my mom, don't say that. Or why did you do that? Or, you know, but I think
I read that.
Yeah, you kind of.
My kids are like that with me.
Right, of course. And I think that's pretty normal too. But I grew up in Hawaii and raised by a mother from the big city. So I literally grew up in like downtown Honolulu. She had to be surrounded by big buildings, Waikiki. I mean, she took us to all the hotels because she wanted to be surrounded by people from the mainland, I think. And there was always something exciting going on.
So. I loved when I read in your book the way that your parents met. Mm-hmm. Like the story about your mom with modeling the mole.
Yep.
And like trying to imitate Marilyn Monroe. It just sounded, like so cool. Can you tell me about that? Because I love that story.
Okay. So my father worked in advertising, and he was always being approached by people with random products. And one day man called and said that he wanted to take him out to dinner to discuss this product that he had. And what it was beauty marks. Because at the time, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, Marilyn Monroe, so, you know, all these beautiful movie stars had like it was not uncommon to actually put a little dot with a mascara wand. Actually, my mother used to do that too. So, so she was hired along with another woman to model these beauty marks. So my father sat down with this fellow, and already he wasn't really that into it. He was like, well, maybe somebody else, you know, in the firm is going to be, but I'll sit and talk with them. I mean, honestly, I think he thought the product was a little ridiculous. But my mother came in with this another woman, and my father and her just, I mean, the energy was palpable. They just connected right there. And she being the character she was, I mean, she always kind of talked in that, you know, kind of voice. you know, that with the little beauty mark. But she was very bold, especially for her time. You know, my father gave her his card, and I think the story goes a couple weeks later, she called him up and she's like, you know, hi, you want to take me out on a date kind of thing? And he's like, what? But of course he's intrigued, and they went out on a date, and I think he took her to the St. Regis or something, which was one of her favorite hotels there in the city. And yeah, the rest is history. They realized they were complete opposites fairly early on, but I think that's what drew them to each other. And they were complete opposites.
Something about your mom that I loved was, you know, your grandmother mm-hmm. gave birth to her at 47. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really interesting because they had already had like a whole family, and then your mom came along. And what I loved, your mom's just a character, and I love anybody like that, like just a spark on this planet, right? And she always was into fashion from a very young age. Like, can you tell me about that? I loved like kind of you talking about how they didn't like have a lot of money, but she would like model and do all that stuff in New York. And, yeah. You know, her parents were, where were her parents from again? I can't remember.
From Kiev. So they were parents that came in. Yeah. And okay. Her mother did not speak any English. And but her father passed away at a really young age. She was 13. And so they moved from like this beautiful east, you know, the coastal part of the Bronx to more of like the dense populated. For the first time, she realized, you know, I'm poor. So I think she just escaped into that world of glamour and movie stars and, you know, artists, musicians. She that was like her happy place. And yes, she loved fashion. Actually, she loved fashion even from a child. There was a story where I think it was my cousin used to come over, and he was just a few years old, and she would just take him into her room and throw on all her little dresses and dress him up, and she'd be like, you look so great as a girl. So she loved fashion. And yes, she turned her little apartment that she shared with her mom into essentially an entire walk-in closet. She used every inch. She stored her shoes in the stove. Her little closet overflowed into her bathroom, and so the shower rod became like a closet rack. Basically, she hung everything there. It looked like you were, you know, walking into a closet when you used the toilet. So, yeah.
I loved just like hearing that about her, and I could relate. You know, I texted you, I guess, the other day because I lost my dad at that age, and. Yeah. And so when I was reading the book, I'm all about signs, which I think you are too. And you kind of described your mom in like part of the book as at one point she had these like diamond, butterflies. And mm-hmm. when I read that, I started to cry because I talk about on the podcast all the time that my sign that my best friend is with me is the butterfly. So anytime I see a butterfly, and then I read that about your mom, and then the connection of losing her dad, you know, I just really believe I was supposed to meet you and talk to you and interview you. And like you, I believe in psychics. So before we go into like all the rest of like what your relationship with your mom, I just wanted to hear a little bit more about, you know, she was a performer and her best friend was too, and they would do the whole circuit at the Catskills. So like, I thought of like Dirty Dancing.
Yes, right. Marvelous Miss Maisel, Dirty Dancing, that whole era was in my head when I was writing that chapter. Yeah, yeah, very much so. Yeah, she, her, one of her, her best friend, Marilyn, was a singer. And my mother, yes, she liked to perform. She didn't perform professionally. She just loved to dance. She was a, she loved music. She loved dancing. And so they were kind of a good team. And Marilyn would head up to the Catskills to perform and open for all the acts. I mean, you know, everyone at that in that era at that time. And they all started in the Catskills, and it was just an incredible time. And they would go up together. And I mean, granted, they're, I think, 15 around that time. But they, you know, they were always fibbing about their ages. And they looked older than they were anyway. So I think Marilyn had said that she was 18 in order to get the jobs. And my mom went along. And and they got, you know, they got into so many crazy experiences and stories. And
what ended up happening, like, not to skip ahead, but when they, why exactly did you move from New York to Hawaii, especially your dad being in advertising?
Yeah. So my mom and dad met in New York, and he was married before. So he has 5 children, and they were all out in California and others, you know, like in the West Coast. So he wanted to be closer to them. And so after they married, he accepted a job in Arizona, and they just, you know, I say they just migrated west. And it's something to say, you know, my mother would never have left New York City for anyone. I mean, that just goes to show that she was so in love with him, you know, to take her out of the city, which is so funny because she would always like bring it up if they had fights, you know. But yeah, she actually really liked living there, and my brother was born there. And then maybe about my brother was only a few months old, so maybe it was about a year or so later, they moved to a couple years later, they moved to Hawaii. So my dad was just, you know, moving up in the ranks, and they accepted a job there. And they thought, you know, we'll just go for a couple years. We'll put all our stuff in storage. You know, it'll be fun adventure. You know, then we'll come back. And yeah, 36 years later, they were still living there. So that didn't happen. But I was born there. And yeah, so that's how I got there.
tell me about your childhood in Hawaii with your mom. I know that I read in the book that you weren't as close to your dad growing up. And
I was close. I felt loved. I was close. He just wasn't I was trying to describe, like, the differences. Like, she was very demonstrative with her love, like very huggy and kissy, and he was more reserved, but we were close. Yeah, we were close. But it was interesting, and after she passed, you know, I just felt like I was starting to get to know him more. So it's interesting. It's like, you know, yeah, I guess you would say I was very close with my mother because we would talk all the time. But I never considered, like, I mean, I always knew my father was there, and I always knew he loved me, but I definitely got to know him more afterwards.
That's probably through, I saw, like, reading the book, through writing your book, you had to go to him for, you know, fact checks and stories that you might not have remembered. And it probably makes your mom upstairs so happy to see that you're in this place now.
I think so. Yeah, I hope so. I felt like she was with me while I was writing the whole story.
So tell me a little bit more, like, why did you decide to actually write the book?
Well,
and tell the actual story, if you're okay with sharing that, because I know it's very emotional.
Yeah. So I had always wanted to tell her story. As a, like, years and years prior, I had started, you know, little notebooks, and I would interview her, and it never quite got off the ground. It was always like a seed in the back of my mind. So there was that. And then when she was sick and, you know, at her bedside, I knew she was dying. I had promised that I would take her back to all of her favorite places in New York City. And that essentially, that's exactly what I did with her ashes. And that's a story in itself I could talk about. But I just started writing about it. You know, I mean, that was the first chapter that actually I wrote, the chapter of, I don't know if you've gotten there, but when I go back to, I bring her back to New York City, and it was kind of like this sojourn, you know, this like journey with her, and where I saw all the places that she loved as a child. And it's like, I saw it through her eyes because I promised I would go back there. And anyway, so I had started to write about it kind of as like a therapeutic, you know, thing for me. And I didn't know what was going to happen with it. It was mainly done for me. And then I started to write another piece and then another piece. And then I thought, well, maybe this is the book. Maybe this is it. And that's kind of how it started.
Did you start writing the book when she was sick? And do you mind sharing with my audience what she was sick with?
Of course. I did not start this book, no, until after she had passed. It was maybe, she passed on New Year's Day, which again, I'll say, you know, of course she did, because she always loved a good party. So she was waiting until New Year's. But I did not start the book until November of that year. So, you know, I needed time to process, and it wasn't like, yeah, I didn't realize that this was actually going to happen. Me write her story. Sorry.
And what was she sick with? How did she pass?
So she fell. It was just a fall. And she didn't have, she didn't really have a healthy base to begin with. You know, it's like, I would say if you or I fell, you know, maybe we'd get a bruise or something, you know, whatever, but then our body would heal quickly. And she just never did. She had the worst diet. I mean, like I say, you know, she lived on Jell-O and pretzels, and, you know, barely drank water. And it just, her system just kind of turned. She also, had autoimmune issues. She had a liver transplant when I was in college. And so, you know, there was just always something happening with her, battles with cancer. But she was always, you know, okay on the other side of it. I actually nicknamed her the Bionic Woman, because she always survived all these things. So it's interesting. And like, who would have thought that something as innocent, you know, as a fall could have, you know, been the catalyst, but that's what it was.
So just so you know, my aunt, is as we speak in hospice care, and same thing, she fell and it just, her body, like she didn't eat well. Her nutrition was horrible. She would eat like a Arby sandwich, cause she was always on a diet, which I know you understand reading this. And she just, like, when you get older, you don't realize like that just falling, and then you're in a nursing home, and then cut to like being on hospice right now. So I understand how painful that is. I'm in California, my sister and my brother, they're all back east. And, you know, as we speak, we're kind of going through her transitioning, you know, to see her parents in heaven, and I believe in all that stuff. So, but I know, like, just reading like how painful it is, like the whole thing with the bed sores, which I read, and, you know, it's just a hard thing to see. And that's my aunt. So for it to be your own mother and a mother that you just adored is just gotta be just so difficult. And I can tell you that I think that unless people go through these things in life and they actually see it, they'll never understand. So I told you I lost my dad at 13 and he died of leukemia. So I will always have that image of my dad, like your mom was this like vibrant, beauty and like she was like not even of this planet, right? And my dad was kind of like that too. He was this like bigger than life personality, and to see my dad get sick, lose his hair, become frail, be, you know, like not the strong, strapping man that he was, is extremely difficult as a human being to process. And I don't think it matters what age you are, but when you have the relationship that you had with your mother, I say this all the time, and it makes me emotional too, is would I have traded the, you know, the 13 years with my dad and had a different dad? Mm-mm. Or would I have had my 13 years with like the most amazing parent on the planet? And I did, you know? And so I kind of think of you when I was reading this story and like how it's intertwined. And I don't know, how do you feel about what I'm saying? Can you?
I'm sitting here tearing up as you talk, so I can completely understand. And I'm touched that you found a similarity. It's extremely difficult. I mean, my mother was a professional dancer. You know, she used to walk, you know, 5 miles a day. Like she was very active. And then to see, you know, her wind up that way, it was hard. But at the same time, I also had a experience with it when she was sick with her liver. She had a liver transplant, and that was just kind of out of the blue. You know, she never really drank. It was just an autoimmune thing, and they don't even know how it happens. And so she was sick for many years with that, and I saw her. It was like during that time, it was a slow progression of seeing her deteriorate, and then at the end of her life, it was like almost much more quickly. It's interesting. And the slow deterioration was that was really, really hard. Because I mean, she went from like you know, this vibrant, beautiful, like luscious hay all to like, I mean, she looked like she was 80, you know, by the end or more, and just she was miserable. So I don't know if you know anything about like with the liver, you know, I mean, there was like liver, the bile buildup, and that made her really itchy. And that's one of the things that I remember more than anything, just her sitting on the couch, scratching her head and her arms and her, you know, stomach, and because she just, and it was just constant. So finally, I mean, she was petite. And so when she finally, got on the transplant in Hawaii list in Hawaii, they couldn't find a size that would fit her. And it was also, you know, the liver transplants in those days were at their infancy. There wasn't that many. There was only one other, is what I heard, that had been performed in the state, you know. And anyway, eventually she wound up getting on another list in the mainland, and she was called about, or I don't know however long, 6 weeks later or something. So finally got on. And there was a journey with that too, because there was rejection. And then, but like I said, she had all these crazy things happen to her, but she always kind of made it through. I mean, she was in the air during 9/11 on United. She was like, you know, just a lot of near miss situations.
She was a fighter. I know that in the book she talks about, and you kind of like went to the psychic, which we can kind of go into, about how she didn't want to go. So do you want to talk about that?
That was really hard. I love all that stuff. And I think there's a part of everyone that, you know, finds comfort and hearing from whatever way, whether it's a sign or in some way knowing that your loved one is okay. And so that was just a conversation that I had with someone that was recommended, and I thought, why not? And right from the start, she literally explained her to the T. You know, I think one of the first things she said was, you know, was she just the life of the party? And I see her just clinking glasses with all these fabulous famous people. And yes. And then she started talking about these butterfly pins that she had in her hair. And those were a couple of items that she had left when she passed, you know, these little diamond hairpins. And yeah, it was interesting to hear what someone who knew nothing about her, but yet at the same time, everything about her, you know, conveyed to me.
Was when she actually passed, she wasn't ready to go? Or do you think...
She would have lived to 100 if she could. She didn't want to go, and she actually held on for a while. And how do I explain? I mean, so she's...
I know, and by the way, I know this is hard, because I think I had messaged you that when my dad was sick, I just can relate to this feeling. He said to me, sorry, this is still hard all these years later, so I'm sure you can understand. He used to call me Baby Doll. That was my nickname. And one of the last times I saw him in the hospital, because I wasn't there when he passed, what he said, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight this. So I, like, when he actually did pass, I didn't, even though he was sick for 9 months, I didn't really believe it, you know? And so I understand that feeling of I can relate to what you feel, is what I'll say.
Thank you. What I heard her say that, you know, your mother she wasn't ready to go or something like that, you know, that's when I was like, oh gosh, just, you know, but she was in hospice. Did she understand? And then I was told, oh, absolutely. No, it wasn't that. In fact, she was, you know, that it's where they take, you know, it's where they make them comfortable. And, you know, she said, whatever it was they gave me, it was good. And
yeah, I loved that.
I didn't want to be in pain. And that was so her. She, I mean, even to turn her to avoid bed sores or to try and get her out of bed for the physical therapy, I mean, she would scream bloody murder. And so that was part of it, because she was not, you know, they said, you know, we can't help her if she doesn't want to be helped. And that kind of rang true. So while she didn't want to go, she also, I don't think she wanted to fight. It's mm-hmm. interesting. It's very... Yeah. And so because of that, her body was just getting worse. It wasn't healing. It was getting worse. Her organs were starting to shut, things were starting to shut down. And so, yeah. But
how long ago did she pass?
It was in 2019.
Okay. So yeah, this is still like fairly new. You're still grieving. You know, to write a book and then have the book come out during COVID was probably, how did that work? Like, was that therapeutic for you? Was it even harder because it was during COVID? Do you want to talk about that?
It was probably the best thing I could have done. I mean, the fact that it was during COVID, it was probably a blessing in disguise. Because I would have been distracted. I would have, you know, I'm a fairly social person. I'm not home a lot, you know, I mean, and during that time I just devoted 1,000%. I mean, that was my day job. I mean, every day I would write and, you know, she was with me the whole time. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that I was kind of worried about, you know, what would happen when I'm done, you know, I mean, I felt like she was with me this whole time, you know, will I still feel that? And luckily I do, because I'm talking to people like you and I'm, you know, I'm promoting it. And so I feel like she's still here and I love it. I think I probably finished it quicker than I would have if it wasn't, you know, during a pandemic. What else?
I know, it kind of forced you to sit down and do it. Do you have signs that you know she's with you? I'm all about signs. What's your sign?
My whole last chapter is all about that. There's so many. I can tell you a few. I remember sitting in my room here at my computer right there, and just in the middle of writing and just thinking about, you know, and missing her, and just in my head thinking, I just, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, what are you doing? You know, where are you? And how are you? And are you okay? That's just, that was the thing that kept going through my head. And out of the blue, I didn't touch anything, bump anything. My iTunes came on, and that song, Cheek to Cheek, you know, the one where Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers are dancing. It goes, I'm in heaven. And I'm going to start to cry.
Yeah.
And that song came on, and, you know, and I'm dancing, teacher, whatever. It was just enough to let me know, that she's okay, you know? And so that came on, that was incredible. And then also I had remembered, I decided I wanted to celebrate her birthday. I've been doing it. I'm going to do it every year now since I did last year and as well. But the her birthday is March 1st, and I decided I would, you know, get a few close friends together, and just we would go out to one of her favorite restaurants. And you may know it. It's Vibrato, which is near you. Yeah, it's at
I love that place up in Bel Air. I used to go there all the time with my best friend Michael.
Okay.
I could see her going there too. Right?
Loved the old music, and you know, we would always, you know, see somebody well known. You know, she just loved it. So I thought, okay, let's go there. And you know, you spend the evening. We told stories about her and laughed and reminisced, and you know, took photos and all that. I remember going back into my car, looking at my phone, and mind you, this is before we got there. I had sent a group text to everybody, you know, just to let them know specifics and I can't wait to see you, that kind of thing. Get back to my car, look at my phone, and that text stream was up on my phone, and I saw something had written LOL mom. I had not written that, you know, I don't know what happened. Yeah. And the phone was not out of my possession the whole night. I know I'm getting chills as I tell you. So I like to think that maybe she was laughing alongside us to the stories. And I mean, she was always just so bright and, you know,
just Caroline, those stories are unbelievable. And I believe in all that stuff too, because I told you my psychic's Tim Braun. He's in Newport near you.
Okay.
But I 100%. And those are such special ones. And also the fact that your mom used to be a dancer in the clubs of Barbara Walters' dad.
Yes, the Lou Walters review. Yep.
Yeah, I love that. So the fact that that song came on, like that kind of music, like that is 100%. A sign that she's with you. And just to like reading your book, which is such a, like a love story, like how lucky you were to have that great love with a parent. You know, some people never have that in their lives. And, you know, it's just, it's such a love story. And it's just, like I said, so beautifully written. I kind of wanted to go into your life, like what you're doing now, because you have such a cool story. Like, first of all, growing up in Hawaii alone and then graduating, and then you started a company on your own, and you're just a very successful, you were also an actress and did tons and tons of commercials. I know that when you and I first FaceTimed, I was like, I know you, how do we know each other? And I thought maybe you would work, because my husband has been an actor like since his childhood, but, you just are so familiar looking to me. So we'll figure it out at some point. Also, I'm going to come visit you in Orange County.
Oh,
you know, I love Newport, especially the shopping.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about like where you are today and some of the things that you do. I know you're a photographer and a writer. Do you mind sharing that?
Sure. So I feel like I've reinvented myself like every few years. Started out, you know, modeling like my mother, and then moving to Los Angeles, got into, you know, acting, did a lot of commercials, probably a little more than 60 or so commercials. That was like my bread and butter. Then I started so I was living in LA for about 8.5 years working as an actor. And then, I had a little Asa Opso, my little sidekick. I brought him from Hawaii to LA with me. And he used to, you know, jump up onto my bed and sleep with me and cuddles and all that. And then, I got a new bed that was higher than my old one. And, he couldn't jump up anymore. He kept trying and then fall off, and was like, okay, I have to find a step or a ramp or something to help him. And it's funny because now everybody and their grandmother, I feel like, you know, it makes this, you know, a doggy step or something. But at the time, there was nothing on the market, so I made a step. And friends found out, and they wanted it. And so I've always sort of been entrepreneurial, and I started making them. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I can start a business. And then quickly after that, I thought of an idea of slogans on t-shirts for dogs. It was right around the whole, you know, Paris Hilton and Tinkerbell and that whole era where your dog is, you know.
I carried my Yorkie in a bag. I was one of them. Yeah.
So, bitches love me was our first saying, which kind of tongue in cheek, you know, and security. And we had about 250 sayings, and that's then what we were known for. So the company was Ruff Ruff and Meow, and I had it for about 10 and a half years. And then I sold it. And when I sold it, I kind of just wanted to take a little bit of a break, and which was good because I was able to spend more time with my mom and dad. You know, they were getting older. And but in that time period, what I was doing, I started getting into volunteer work, and I became connected with Rotary, and I wound up doing a lot of volunteer work, like overseas. I was working with mobile medical clinics, and so we would go to Peru. I remember doing a clinic deep in the middle of the Amazon jungle, and that was an incredible experience. We went to Mexico. I mean, I was part of the last crew to administer polio vaccinations via the droplets in India. And so because of my love of photography and writing, I would document that. And so I'd write articles for the paper, and, you know, I'd help where I can, and I also would document it. And so it was an incredible experience, and I miss it. I'd love to do more of that. But I was doing a lot of that, photography and like, you know, writing for freelance before actually focusing on the book. So it's sort of my...
I mean, it's really sad that you haven't done anything in your life. I'm sorry. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I just love talking to you. I think you're such an incredible human. And I think I told you before we started recording, and my mom listens to this podcast. Mm-hmm. We, you know, she knows we've been in a little rough patch. A lot of it, and I'll be honest, stems from politics.
Yeah.
So politics, unfortunately, have put such a strain on, I'm sure a lot of people can relate, in the past year or so, or 4 years, to like what politics can do to relationships. And I think when I read this, to be honest with you, it came at the perfect time, because I do really love my mom, and I realize how much I need to like mend where we are right now. And
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. So I want you to know that your book is just, it's just the most beautiful book. And I hope that the people that listen to my show really go out and read this book. I'm still not finished, I'll be honest with you, because when I wanted to record this with you, I didn't want to know the whole story, because I wanted it to be like, if I knew the whole thing, it would be harder to have the conversation. So I'm actually traveling. This is going to make me get upset, but I'm seeing my mom this weekend for the first time in 4 years. So yeah. So because of COVID, I couldn't see my family. Obviously they're on the East Coast. And then like, you know, I put off, like, you know, when you live in California and your family's on the East Coast, you kind of put it off.
Yeah.
So we're all going to Charleston, South Carolina this weekend for my nephew's graduation. And I'm gonna talk to my mom. And so I want you to know that your book is especially fitting in my own life for me right now. And yeah, it's just a beautiful love story. And I hope that my audience really goes out and gets it. Again, it's called An Unapologetic Tales of the Original Party Crasher. And your mom is just so cool. And like, I think a lot of people, when I read this, I think the back of your book talks about how it could be a movie. After reading it, it could be a movie.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the next chapter for you.
Yeah, I can see it. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I was just going to say, I too can relate to the whole differences in politics with family members. And I think at some point you just have to agree to disagree. At least that's what we've had to do. And just know that, you know, you love them for them, and differences are okay. And I mean, I grew up with so many differences between my mother and father, you know, and I mean, different religions, different,
yeah,
you know, my goodness. And they never changed each other. They never changed themselves, and they never trying to change, you know, one another. And I don't know if that's what helped me kind of, you know, look at people and accept, you know, the differences in life, you know. I mean, I kind of consider myself more spiritual than following any particular religion. You know, that was one of the things, because we were exposed to, you know, so many different influences growing up, you know, which allowed us to make our own mind up. And I feel like I'm going in a tangent, but yes.
No, I think this is like all valid stuff that we, you know, our country's in, I'm not going to get political, but I will say this, our country's in such a bad place right now that if there was more of just like the acceptance and being kind to each other and spirituality, and, you know, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in right now, politics aside. But, you know, people like you putting out like love and kindness and stories, and this is the good stuff in life, right? And I know that this Sunday is probably hard for you because it is Mother's Day. But like I said, I mean, I think you and I met for a reason. Maybe she had something to do with like us talking today, and she is here with us. And is there anything like you would say to her today? Do you ever think about that? I think about that sometimes with my loved ones that have passed.
I will say I've been pretty fortunate to get validation, questions answered in ways that I was not expecting. Like, if I can tell you, there was a story when she was in hospice, there was a moment where I told her, I said, Mom, I love you. And she said it back. And, you know, there's nothing new. We always said, you know, I love you to each other. But she, it was like, have you ever had a moment where you said something to someone or someone said something back to you and it just lands, and with an like unquestionable knowing, like you took it in, you heard it, you know, it just hit you. It was like that from both of our sides. And I'm going to probably start crying, but that was probably the best, biggest gift I ever could have gotten, because I get it. You know, you're going through something with your mother right now. I mean, mother-daughter relationships are tricky, and they're a unique, you know, thing. And I mean, of course, she and I had our share of fights, and so just knowing that, to hear those words, you know, I love you and I know you do, I know you love me, like to hear those back, that's all I can keep going to. If I did not hear that, that would probably be the one thing, like, you knew I loved you, right? Or, you know, and so I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I think she's okay. I don't know. I don't have any questions. I know she's good, and it's a good feeling.
Like, you're at peace with it. And, yes. and do you believe in that you'll see her again?
That is one thing. I do want to say, Mom, can you just come and visit me in my dream or something? You know, I want to be one of those people that has a dream where she's, you know, where I see her and I just wake up and it just was real. So I don't have that. She comes to me in other ways, but it kind of makes sense. She never really wanted to do anything that, you know, anyone ever wanted her to, you know, like she did it. She does things her own way. So it does kind of make sense that she's, you know, coming in to me in the ways that she chooses to, but I
love that, you know, that she's with you, because I constantly, like, I think I said in the beginning, and I've said, if my listeners know, I talk about butterflies being signs. And anytime I see a butterfly, and I know my best friend is with me, like she's popping in just to be like, you're having a bad day and I'm on a walk, and a butterfly will just like fly up. And it's like in my head, like I know that I'm going to see those people again. And this is kind of like, you know, my mission in life, so I can like try to be a good person and do the best that I can, so I have that chance of hopefully, you know, seeing my dad and my sister and my best friend again. I just think that you're an incredible person. What is your social media, just so people can follow you and find you on your website? Do you mind sharing that?
Sure. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, and it's all Caroline Nadine Helsing, author. And I try, especially on Instagram, I've been adding photographs of my mom or other family members or things like that, because there aren't any pictures in the book. But if you go to the socials, it's kind of neat because there's excerpts with a photograph, and it's, you know, it's like,
I've been seeing that. Yeah. I love that you're doing that, by the way. It's really cool.
It's like a little accompaniment to the book, if you will.
Yeah, you have a great Instagram. I was also going to say, in closing, if you guys don't mind, my listeners, please subscribe to my podcast. And I always appreciate a good review. I never really have asked that before, I don't think, on the podcast, but I'm asking today, because when I have better reviews on Apple, for example, people have an easier time finding me. And I thank all of you so much for your support. I kind of have talked about it a little bit, but this podcast has really helped me heal in my journey, you know, battling anxiety and depression. And meeting people like you, Caroline, just make me feel like I'm supposed to be doing this. And I'm so grateful. But I also just want all my listeners to know how much I love your messages. And, you know, Donna, Molly, the people that message me, Jassie, I just love you guys. And, you know, even like a quick message from you just makes my whole day. So thank you. In closing, thank you, Caroline. You're an incredible girl. Your big giant smile makes my whole day. Oh. And your mom is just so proud of you. I know it. I feel it. I feel her with us. And in closing, keep living, keep praying, and keep growing.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna Baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna Baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.